You are listening to Career Talk Podcast for Young Professionals. I am Dr. Susie Chen from Resilient Leadership Academy. Co-hosting the show with me today is Sean Ng from GSI Eastern.
Thanks, Susie. Today's episode is all about meaningful career. What does it mean to have a meaningful career and how to build a meaningful career?
When we were doing the planning, you were very keen to take on this topic, Sean. I remember you were telling me that you had just a perfect guest in mind for this episode. Why were you so drawn to this topic, finding a meaningful career?
Well, so many people say they have a dream job. However, they stay stuck in a job they don't necessarily enjoy. Then there are others who say they like their job, but deep down inside, they can't wait to sprint out of the office. I hope we can encourage young people to pursue a career that they will enjoy and provide them with ways to get their foot in the door.
You certainly have painted a very vivid picture, Sean, with your description, with your explanation. So who is our guest today?
We have Brian Kakianiga as our guest today. Brian is a disabled man who has always had a burning desire to help people who are in a similar situation to him. He has an affinity for speaking and loves advocating. He doesn't shy away from expressing his views to others.
So I'm looking at our interview sheet, and you have described Brian as a former NDIS coordinator. For our listeners who are outside Australia, NDIS stands for the National Disability Insurance Agency. So you described Brian as a former NDIS coordinator and a proud disability advocate. I love the descriptions, especially the proud disability advocate. I can't wait to hear your interview with Brian.
Everyone has a different definition of a meaningful career. Some people think a meaningful career gives them a higher pay, higher salary. Some people think career is a career or a job they enjoy, a job they like to do. So, yeah, what is your definition of a meaningful career, Brian?
I agree with everything you just said. Now, depending on the people, it's, you know, different people have different understandings or interpretation of it. But for me, I think, yeah, money's good. And if they want to pay me a lot of money, I'll take it and I'll spend it quite well. There's no problem with that. But if I'm not getting some personal satisfaction out of it, or a sense of of achievement out of it, or having served a purpose with it, then it's probably just a job. But when I'm doing a job that has a meaning to me and has some purpose to it, or some satisfaction to it, then the pay doesn't really worry me. Yeah, so it's got to be something that I enjoy doing. Probably my first job that had a bit of meaning and there was a meaningful job to me was when I was driving taxis back in Adelaide. When I started driving taxis, I fell in love with it. I thought, oh, wow, this is great. So that was probably my first experience of a job that had a bit of feeling for it, that I really, you know, I didn't go to work. I just went to drive the cab, to drive people around. It wasn't really a job. And then from there, I finished up after the cabs for about 18 months, 2 years. I finished up in the courier game, and I finished up doing two-way radio operations. That I really enjoyed that. And once again, I wasn't going to work. I was going to work with the team. I went from just being a radio operator and got promoted to a inner city office manager. And when I went into the city to manage that office, I was the head operator in that office. And I got a lot of satisfaction out of that. Yeah. And so that to me was another meaningful job. And the value I got out of that was the fact that I had a team of riders and drivers that were earning good pay, because I wouldn't just keep putting new people on. I just taught them, if you work a bit harder and faster, you can make a really good income here, but you have to show me you're going to work, or I'm going to have to put more couriers on. I don't want to put more couriers on. I want to see you earn a decent income. But we've got to get the job done. We've got to get it done on time. And as a team, you know, we did a really good job. Once again, I never went to work. In fact, I don't think any of us did. None of us went to work. We just went to spend the day with our friends and have a good time, but knew there was things we had to do while we were there. And so we just did what had to be done, but had a good time doing it. And nowadays, we'll probably talk a bit more about this later, now I get even more satisfaction because I'm doing a lot of advocacy work, because I have a physical disability and I'm in a wheelchair all the time. So as a person with a disability in a wheelchair, we encounter challenges outside the normal every day. So by being involved as an advocate, I'm involved with the four different, or in particular three, but coming up four of the different transport modes here in Victoria, such as metro trains, Yarra trams, V-line trains, and hopefully next year I'll be involved with Kinetic buses as well. And the purpose of that is just to help them understand the extra supports or needs that we as people with disabilities have that they need to consider when they're designing their vehicles, you know, putting their services together. And as I was just showing you that picture at the moment that's getting around on buses, that's me doing, again, work with Traveller's Aid.
Stop here for a moment. For our listeners, I am looking at the image that Brian has shared. We will add this image to our show notes for everyone. But for now, Sean, can you describe for our listeners what we are looking at?
Here we are looking at an image of the side of a bus, and it has a big banner painted across. The banner features a group of people, including two sitting in a wheelchair, and Brian is one of them. The banner talks about learning from experience. In this case, the lived experience of people with disability. Brian is demonstrating that everyone should have equal rights. Whether you come from a different country or have an impairment or disability, you should still walk the same path as everyone else and be treated the same way as everyone else.
And Brian has quite a story to tell about this image.
And it's all about inclusion and helping people without a disability have a little bit of an understanding of what it's like to live with a disability, in particular using a wheelchair or being blind. It's hard to mimic. It's hard to take an able-bodied person out and mimic that of a person with a mental health issue. That's a little bit hard to mimic, but we can quite simply mimic that of living in a wheelchair or living with a lack of vision or with a vision impairment. We can mimic that, you know, and give a person a practical experience of what that can be like. And I really enjoy that. To me, that's a meaningful thing. It's helping people. It's developing awareness. It's developing a level of understanding. And it helps those people make what we hope will be better decisions in their jobs when they're designing things. Like one group that we took through the Traveller's Aid session, it's called Travelling in the Shoes of Others, TITSO, T-I-T-S-O, Travelling in the Shoes of Others with Traveller's Aid. And what we do is we get in able-bodied people. And one group that we had was a group of architects from Lendlease. And we took them around. And that particular group of architects are involved in the redesigning of the area behind the Young and Jackson's Hotel in the city. Now, they'd already apparently put some plans together on paper, right, of what they were going to do with that area. And after being out with us, when we did the debrief at the end of the session, they said, we need to go home and start again. To me, that was just an awesome experience to see that happen. But great, that's awesome. That's what this is all about. A lot of people, Sean, meaningful is to be able to develop their hobby, to develop their hobby into an income. Yeah, so that's a long answer to a short question.
I love it. I love it. Love hearing your story. Very inspiring. Especially, you know, someone who has lived a life different than us. Yeah, really, really inspiring. I guess the second question is, a lot of young people, especially, you know, they have all these big dreams, big visions. When I ask them what they want to do, they always say, I wish I could be this, I wish I could be that. But they're stuck in their, you know, 9-to-5 job, 5 days a week, not really enjoying what they're doing. So I guess, how can these young people leverage their skills and talents to, you know, find something meaningful to do?
A saying that I use with people, you've met my friend Samson.
Yes.
Right. Samson gets an idea and he sort of talks to me about it. I said, well, chase it. And he said, what? I said, chase it. Go after it. Go and get it. And he goes, well, I can't just go and get it. I said, of course you can. Go and get it. Make up your mind, that's what you want, you're going to get it, and that's all there is to it, and then just go and get it. And I think for younger people, we're very much taught at school to develop a certain train of thinking and to adhere to that, become part of that system and just accept that's life. Right? And I think that's more important today for the younger people. They've got to work out what job do you want and chase it. You have to go after it. You have to let them know, I'm the person you're looking for. You have to make yourself stand out of the pack. You have to let that employable person know that you're the person that they're looking for.
Wow, great. Oh, great advice.
There was a meme getting around online for quite a while where Richard said, when they ask, can you do this job, just say yes. And then when you get it, then learn how to do it.
Just to clarify for our listeners, Ryan is talking about Sir Richard Branson and his quote, if someone offers you an amazing opportunity, but you are not sure you can do it, say yes. Then learn how to do it later.
If you've got an idea of what job you want, what you'd like to do, then chase it with a vengeance. If you just come up with school, like doctors, highly qualified doctors don't become highly qualified doctors just by getting a doctorate. They become highly qualified doctors because they love it. They love being a doctor. They love being able to help people.
Oh, love it. Love it, Brian. One more question. I know some people feel a disconnect between their current job and life's purpose, but at the same time, they are unsure about how to find purpose. So, yeah, what are your suggestions?
Start looking. You know, I guess the first thing I'd ask is, the first thing I'd suggest is, in the years of you growing up and in the, you know, the job experience you've had so far, what do you often sit back and think about that you would do for free if you had the opportunity to do it? What hobbies have you had?
I'm hearing something that I have heard before. In our last episode, our guest Crystal Bullock from The Family Lawyer said something similar as well. Do you recall, Sean?
Yes, I think Crystal gave a similar advice. She suggested that we ask ourselves, what are the things that we are willing to do for free or without recognition?
That's right. Christelle suggested that if we could figure that out, it may give us a clue about our purpose, what may be important to us, which then may in turn inform our career development.
Get involved. Get talking to people. It's amazing what you can find if you'll just start talking. But you have to talk. You have to let people know you're in the room. Because if you don't let people know you're in the room, then they don't know you're in the room. You have to let them know you're in the room and you have to let them know that you're different. That means you got to walk up and go, g'day, my name's Sean, what's yours? You got to work out what is it that you would do for free. If you would do it for free, then work out how can I get paid to do this and then go and find it. And if there's no way out there to get paid for it, then make a way. You know, you go and design something different. Go out and just let them know, I want to do this, but I do need to be paid because I got to pay my rent. So what can I do? Ask questions. What can I do? How do I get involved in this? Who do I need to talk to? Chase it. Just chase it. If you want it, chase it.
If you want it, just chase it. Sean, I have to say, Brian's full of energy and his enthusiasm is infectious.
I agree. I've known Brian for many years and I often go to him for advice.
Indeed, we are very fortunate to have Brian sharing his experience and advice with us today. If you find today's episode helpful, make sure to subscribe to our show so you get notified with our future episodes.
And please also support us to help as many people as possible by sharing today's episode with someone you know.
Today's episode is made possible by our dedicated volunteers from Resilient Leadership Academy and GSI Eastern, two great organizations that support young professionals with their growth and development. To learn more about us, please visit our show notes. A big thank you to Brian, the proud disability advocate, for donating his time. And, of course, a job well done to you too, Sean.
Thanks, Susie.
This episode is hosted by Sean Ng and myself, Susie Chen, and produced by Susie Chen. Until next time.